Welcome to the podcast of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Listen with us to the Word of God as we build a community from all cultures where Christ is King.
First two services, it was good morning. Pastor Ward, thank you so much for the kind introductions. I'm so thankful that you're my pastor too, brother. Ben and the worship team, I've been greatly encouraged getting to hear the worship set three times. I love all the a cappella today because I get to hear your voices worshiping and praising the King of Kings. So it's been a blessing just to hear voices worshiping and praising. So as if you were here last week, Pastor Doug started our series on the Songs of Ascent. He introduced us to the Psalms and told us how we should read them. He taught about some of the various views on the Songs of Ascent and indicated that the popular view is that they were used by the people of God as they would go to Jerusalem for the various festivals. Our psalm today, Psalm 121, clearly speaks to pilgrims who are in the midst of a journey, and each of us are also in the midst of our own journey. So for some of us, we're on a journey that is actively being lived in opposition to God. Some of you may only be here because your parents made you come. You're visiting family, and they go to church on Sunday morning, so you came to Sunday morning church. Some of you are planning and preparing, even this afternoon, for what sins you will pursue and what sins you will engage in. And you have no desire or no thought towards what God thinks about those things. So you're living in active opposition to God. Some of us have just begun our journey walking with the Lord. So maybe you've been a believer for less than a few years, and these things are all new to you, and you're even being tempted to go back to your old ways and go back to the way that you used to live and just throw in the towel and say, Jesus isn't worth it. Hopefully these verses will be an encouragement to you this morning. Some of us have been walking with the Lord for many years. Maybe the Lord was gracious to save you as a child. You've been a believer for years and years. But just because that's true, that doesn't mean you still don't have doubts. You still don't have worries and concerns about whether the Lord will keep you or preserve you. Some of us are on journeys filled with joy and gladness at the kindness of the Lord and the works in our lives. So maybe it's a new baby. Maybe you've just recently gotten married. Maybe life is just going well in God's kindness for a number of different reasons. That's the journey that the Lord has you on. For some of us, we are walking through trials and sufferings, and we're even wondering if the Lord is present. Maybe it's been the loss of a child through miscarriage. Maybe it's a difficult marriage or weariness in raising small children, or just a general tiredness of life, despair and depression. Maybe that's where the Lord has you today. My hope is that regardless of how your journey is going, that we will all be encouraged as we dig into Psalm 121. Please look with me as I read this short and glorious psalm. A song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let me pray again. Lord, I thank you for these truths. This eight verses are filled with glorious truths, Lord, about who you are and how you keep and protect us, Lord. I pray for those that are in these seats, Lord, that you would give them ears to hear, and that you would give them hearts that desire to be changed by your word. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit as I seek to clearly communicate the things, these truths, and bring them out and draw them and Meditate and dwell on them, Lord. I pray for those that are in this room that do not know you, Lord. I pray that their hearts would be open to the glorious truths of the gospel, that you would bring about salvation in many, even today, Lord. I pray as we do these things that you would keep our focus on you and that you are the one who keeps and preserves his people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our psalm today starts by telling us where we are prone to look in the midst of our journey. You can imagine and picture the Israelites are walking towards Jerusalem, and they would have been walking upwards. They would have been surrounded by hills, and Jerusalem itself is on a hill. So as the psalm begins, the pilgrims are lifting their eyes up to the hills. Maybe they're looking and wondering, am I safe? Where's my help going to come from? Do I have to worry if I cross this next ridge? Is an army going to come and attack us? Are there going to be wild animals that will come and destroy us? Will we even make it to Jerusalem to worship the Lord? So these fears are going through their mind, these concerns, and there's even probably temptations to look for hope in something else, to look for confidence in the people that are with them or in the place that they're going and hoping that that's the safe place for them. So just like the pilgrims, we are all tempted to look to our surroundings for confidence and hope. Some of us try to find confidence in our earthly relationships, hoping they will provide the comfort and protection that we so seek. Some of us find confidence in the comforts of this world that will never satisfy. This may be food, drugs, alcohol, money, shopping, whatever it is in this world that you seek to find comfort in. We have to believe that it's never going to satisfy. Some of us even try to find confidence in our own abilities, in our own accomplishments. We're trying to journey through life on our own strength and our own power. Finally, some of us are trying to even find confidence in religion itself. After all, they were journeying towards Jerusalem to worship the Lord. But were their hearts really in it, or were they just going through the motions? In the same way, are we also not prone to do the same thing, to go through the motions? It's Sunday morning, so we're supposed to come to church. We come to church, we check that off our list. We know we're supposed to read the Bible a few times throughout the week, so we begrudgingly do that. We know that we're supposed to cry out to the Lord in prayer, so we take feeble attempts to do those things, but are really just going through the motions and never really truly worshiping the God who calls us to do those things. So hopefully as we work through the rest of this psalm, it's going to be important for us to remember, where are you tempted to look? Where are you tempted to find your hope and your confidence? And how does it contrast where this psalm tells us to find our confidence? So we see that in verse 2. The psalmist clearly answers the question of where our help should come. Our help must come from the Lord. All of these other false hopes will fail us and let us down, but the Lord will never fail us. We're going to see the realities of these things as we go through the rest of the Psalms. We're going to see several glorious truths about why the Lord is our only help on the journey. These glorious truths are going to be broken up in three different categories or ways, and for the ease of note-taking and just for remembrance, each of the categories is going to start with the letter A. So first of all, we're going to see that the Lord is our help because of his attributes, because of his character, and because of who he is. Then we're going to see several actions that describe the way the Lord keeps us. And then finally, we will see the amount of help that the Lord provides. So let's start with the Lord's attributes. The psalmist does not simply tell us to look to the Lord for help and move on, but he gives us three examples of God's character to give us confidence that the Lord is indeed able to help. This means that the Lord is able to help us because of who he is, because of his attributes. We see this first attribute in verse 2, where the psalmist reminds us that the Lord is the Creator. When the journey gets difficult, we must not focus on the hills around us, but we must look to the one who made heaven and earth. One commentator states it this way. He says, the thought of this verse leaps beyond the hills to the universe, beyond the universe to its maker. Think about that. The God who made the hills surrounding the pilgrim is able to be found. We can look to him for help no matter what is surrounding us in our journey. This is in direct contrast to the other things that we seek and try to find our hope and confidence in. No earthly relationship will ultimately be able to help us. No husband, no parent, no child, no friend is going to care and support us on the journey the way that that God will. All relationships will fail us at some point, and if we are not careful, those relationships can lead us the wrong direction. It is only as we keep our eyes on the Creator of the universe that we will walk on the path that he wants us to walk on. In addition, no comforts or pleasures of this world will give us the help that we are looking for. In fact, turning to them will often make the journey more difficult. If we turn to drugs and alcohol for comfort, it will lead us down the path of destruction. If we look to money or possessions to help us on our journey, they will end up weighing us down and they will take our focus off the Lord. And then also, none of our mental or physical abilities will help us as much as the God who created us. Over time, our abilities will begin to fail us, but the Lord will never fail us. We must look past the hills of our journey to the God who created them. A second attribute of God is that he is the protector of his children. We are not able to protect ourselves, so we need somebody outside of ourselves to protect us. We see this in verse 3 when the psalmist says, the Lord will not let your foot be moved. Now, this idea of the Lord not letting our foot be moved reminds us a few months ago, the men of the church went on a men's retreat. We do this every year, and most years we've gone to Red River Gorge. And during the second day of the retreat, we go on a several-mile hike to various destinations throughout the gorge. This year, we went to a place called Gray's Arch, and that's where we stopped and we ate lunch. So several miles in, we would stop and we would eat lunch. And if you've ever been there before, it's at the base of the arch. So there's lots of rocks and places to sit. But you have the arch over top of you the entire time. After lunch, several of the men and kids decided to climb on top of the arch. So my oldest son, Isaiah, and I decided to join them. In order to get to the top of the arch, you have to boulder up about 20 to 30 feet before it flattens out on the top. If you've ever done any tree climbing or rock climbing or anything like that, you'll know that it's always easier to climb up than it is to get back down. But you have to get down somehow. So as we were climbing down the arch, it was amazing to see. Several men were scattered around making sure that everybody got down safely. At one point, one of the men held on to one of Isaiah's feet to make sure that it did not slip while he moved the other foot to the next spot. So again, this is a simple and small picture of this man holding my son's foot to make sure he doesn't slip off the side of this mountain. That's just a picture of what the Lord does for us all the time. He makes sure our feet do not slip, and he makes sure that we're going the right direction. It should encourage us that he's with us each step of the way. So if you're on a journey that is currently filled with trials and suffering, and you're not sure how you're going to make it through, look to your protector who will not let you stumble and fall. If you're a new believer and you are tempted to fall back into your old ways, look to your protector who has brought you out of the domain of darkness and is leading you on the right path. If you have been a believer for a long time, do not begin to assume that you have kept yourself on this journey, but instead look back and see all the times that the Lord has kept your foot from slipping. It is important and humbling for us to look back at our lives and to remember the numerous times when the Lord protected us. It is not because we were strong or powerful or wise, but it is because God kindly and graciously protects us. In the second part of verse 3 and in verse 4, the psalmist gives us a third attribute of God that should give us confidence in the journey. In these verses, we see that we can rest and trust because the Lord never sleeps nor slumbers. He is always on the alert because we can't always be. This glorious truth that God never slumbers gives us another example of how our own abilities are weak and insufficient. Everybody eventually has to rest. We cannot always be on alert. Since God is always on duty, His people can peacefully rest because we know that the Lord will keep us and protect us. We see an example of a comparison between a sleeping God and an awake God in 1 Kings 18. So turn with me there as we see Elijah is challenging the prophets of Baal to see which God has the power to light an altar on fire and to show himself to be powerful. And so Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go first. We see in the previous sections that there were 450 prophets. So you have 450 men who are dancing around and moving around this altar, crying out to their God, trying to get their God to respond. They spend 3 hours doing this from 9 o'clock until noon. And in verse 27, Elijah begins to mock them and begins to question the abilities of their God. It says, and at noon, Elijah mocked them saying, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is musing or he is relieving himself or he is on a journey or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. Elijah is making fun of Baal because he is not responding to the prophet's cries. He is describing him as a weak God who has fallen asleep at the time of need. As we continue in the story, we see that the prophet spends several more hours, possibly 6 or 7 more hours until twilight comes, trying to get Baal to act. They even go so far as to cut themselves and let their blood gush out upon them, hoping that the Lord, their God, or that the God Baal will respond and light the altar on fire. Now at the end of the day, it's Elijah's turn to call on the Lord to set fire to his altar. Elijah has such confidence in the Lord that he had them pour 12 jars of water on top of the altar. It soaked the altar and it filled a trench with water. When it's Elijah's turn to call God into action, he speaks confidently, knowing that God will respond and show himself to be alert and powerful. Immediately after Elijah's prayer, we see how the Lord responds in verse 38. We see, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Imagine that. The dust around the trench and around the altar was burned up. All the water, all the stones, all of the sacrifice, all the wood, all of it gone in an instant because of our powerful God. So this is a powerful example that God is able to keep us and able to protect us. So we see that the false god Baal was not powerful enough to light the altar on fire. But the Lord immediately responds in an awesome display of power. Brothers and sisters, our Lord never sleeps nor slumbers, and He is always on the ready to care for His people. On this idea that the Lord never sleeps nor slumbers, Spurgeon reminds us that we have a guide, omniscient, omnipotent, Excuse me. Three times is wearing me out. Omniscient, omnipotent, unsleeping, unchanging. God is always on the alert, and he is knowledgeable and powerful enough to take care of his people. We also notice in these verses that God is able to keep the pilgrim individually, and he's also able to keep the entire nation of Israel. In light of all the turmoil that we see going on in our culture today, it is good to remember that God will not only protect us individually, but he also will continue to protect his church no matter what trials and persecutions that it faces. Again, brothers and sisters, are you tired, anxious, weary, and heavy laden in the midst of the journey? If so, do not try to find confidence in your spouse or a close friend, because there are times when they will fail you and they will not always be able to carry the burden. Do not try to find confidence even in your own abilities, because this will just lead to anxiety and fear, and you will always feel like a failure when you finally have to rest. It takes a lot of trust in the Lord to be able to go to sleep and leave things undone. It takes a lot of humility to admit that we cannot do it all and that the world is not dependent on us doing everything. Do not try to find confidence in your retirement account, in your possessions, in a bottle, pipe, or needle, because all of these things are passing away and they will take your focus away from the Lord. Instead, turn to the Lord who never sleeps nor slumbers, and trust that he will take care of you at all times. Now that we have seen the three attributes of the Lord that can give us confidence on the journey, we will now see three actions that the Lord does for his people as they journey through life. These actions flow out of God's attributes, and they are very tangible ways for us to see the Lord's active work in our lives. The first glorious truth that the Lord does for the pilgrim is repeated six times in just eight verses. Six times in eight verses. I think that means it's pretty important. So the psalmist constantly reminds them that the pilgrims, that the Lord is keeping them. Listen with me as I read the verses that have the word keep in them. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. And then in verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The psalmist really wants us to know that we will be kept by the power and strength of the Lord. This idea of the Lord keeping his people is a key part of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. We see this clearly in Wayne Grudem's definition for the perseverance of the saints, which says that all those who are truly born again will be kept by God's power and will persevere as Christians until the end of their lives, and that only those who persevere until the end have been truly born again. The saints' perseverance is only possible because God preserves them in the faith. The truth that God preserves those that are truly his is made even more clear throughout the New Testament. In John 6, 38 through 40, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." Jesus will not lose any who truly believed in him. In John 10, 27 through 29, Jesus again says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So God the Son and God the Father will not let them be snatched out of their hand. And then we also see in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 that the Holy Spirit is also playing a role in preserving the believer. And we see in verse 13, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Brothers and sisters, all three persons of the Trinity are preserving you in your faith. They are keeping you until the end. They are actively working to keep those who are his. Also, we see in Philippians 1:6, we see that Paul expresses confidence. He says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Finally, in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." We see here that Peter emphasizes that they are continually being guarded by God's power through faith. So we see that this truth that God keeps those who are his should be a great encouragement to all of us as we go through this journey. For the new believer, we can hold fast to the promise that God will keep those who are his, and it should motivate them to continue putting their faith in him. For those who have been a believer for a long time, it should be a humble reminder that we have remained in the faith because God has kept them in the faith by his power. If you were to continue reading in 1 Peter 1, we would see that God's continued guarding and preserving can help us to endure in the various trials and testings by fire that we are facing. Now that we have seen the overall theme of God's preserving power for his children, we can look at some of the specific ways that God acts for his people. The second action that the Lord does for the pilgrim is to serve as the shade at their right hand. It takes a little bit for us to understand this phrase, as it is not common for us. So in the heat of the summer, it can be helpful to have a shade to protect us from the hot sun. This shade could be an umbrella as you sit at the pool. This could be sitting under the tree while you go to a park throughout the day. This could be anything where you can get out of the direct rays of the sun. And this shade makes it bearable for us to be outside. And our psalm is indicating that the Lord serves as this shade for our pilgrims. We can also understand that the right hand is a position of power. As long as God is at our right hand, Psalm 16:8 says that we will not be shaken. We also see in several different passages that Jesus sits at the right hand of God in heaven. In Luke 22:69, during his trial, Jesus tells the council that from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Colossians 3:1 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Finally, in Hebrews 12:1 and 2, we are reminded where Jesus is seated as we are encouraged to continue to run the race that we are on. There it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. As we are on the journey that God has laid out for us, we can know that the Lord is at a position of power and that he is serving as a shade against the heat of life. If you are currently facing trials and sufferings that make you feel weak and exhausted, remember that the Lord is protecting you through your trials and that he has a plan for them. Also, if you are living a life in sinful opposition to God, you should not feel safe because you do not have God's powerful protection over your life. The next action of the Lord is found in verse six, which says, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Similar to verse 5, we see that the Lord will not allow the sun nor the moon to strike them. This Hebrew word translated as strike in the ESV should be understood as a destructive term. It can also mean strike down, kill, beat down, attack, defeat. So the pilgrim on their journey to Jerusalem would understand easily how the sun could cause sunstroke. They're walking through the desert. They're doing this multiple times a year over multiple days. And it's easy for them to recognize that the sun has damage and can have damaging effects. In addition to that, because of the climate in Israel, there are drastic changes from the extreme heat of the day to the extreme cold of the night. Growing up in Colorado, this drastic temperature change is something that I am very familiar with. In the mountains, during the summer, you would be quite comfortable wearing shorts and a t-shirt during the day. But if you're going to be out after the sun sets, you would need to pack extra layers because the temperature will drop quickly, sometimes 30 plus degrees in the night. So we can understand how these verses relate to extreme temperature changes. But in his commentary on this verse, James Montgomery Boyce sees it as a description of something bigger. Boyce says, "What the psalmist really means, though in figurative language, is that nothing, either of the day or night, can harm us if God is keeping guard. God is our covering against every calamity. He is our shade against the visible perils of the day as well as the hidden perils of the night." When viewed this way, this phrase can be a big help for us as we journey through our lives. If you are facing the heat of a difficult boss and the possibility of losing your job, you can trust that God has you where he wants you and that he is working in the midst of this difficulty. If you are facing the heat of a challenging marriage or an exhausting period of raising children, you can trust that God is keeping guard and that he is seeking to grow you in Christ-likeness in the midst of this trial. If you are facing the cold of a life-threatening medical condition, you can trust that God will care for you through it, and that even if it does end in death, God will care for you throughout all eternity. If you are facing the cold of a long period of depression and despair, look to God, who wants to be your strength and comfort in the midst of the darkness. No matter where you are currently at in your journey, remember that the Lord is your keeper, and he is tirelessly helping you continue to walk toward your destination. Now that we have seen the attributes of God that make him a good helper and the specific ways that he keeps us, we will close our time looking at the amount of protection that the Lord gives. In verse 7, we see that the Lord will act to keep the pilgrim from all evil. It is amazing how all-inclusive the Lord's action is towards his people. No matter what evil they face, the Lord is able to keep them through it. We see a beautiful picture of the extent of God's protection at the end of Romans 8. Turn with me so that we can see it together. So in Romans 8:28, God's people are given an amazing promise that should give them strength and hope. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." And then as we continue in verses 35 through 39, Paul gives us a beautiful description of how exhaustive his care for his people will be. Listen with me as I read in verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being called, killed all the day long. We are regarded as a sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Brothers and sisters, there is nothing on earth, heaven, or hell that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What we see in Romans 8, as well as what we have seen all throughout Psalm 121, is that God does not promise that we will not have problems, but he does promise that he will keep us safe as we go through them. So no matter what trials and difficulties you are currently facing on your journey, do not lose confidence that God is able to keep you throughout them. As Romans 8:37 reminds us, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." So far, we have seen that the Lord keeps us from all evil, and now we will see when the Lord keeps us. At the beginning of verse 8, we see that the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. There is never a time throughout our day when the Lord is not keeping us and the Lord is not preserving us. God is with us at the beginning of the day as we go out to our workplaces, and he is still with us when we come into our homes at the end of the day. The psalmist wants the pilgrims to confidently know that there is never a time on their journey when the Lord is not actively working to keep and protect them. This phrase, going out and coming in, is used several times throughout the Bible. Interestingly, two of the times that the phrase is used are found in the blessings and curses portion of Deuteronomy 28 that Pastor Ryan preached on a few weeks ago. We see in verse 6 that God says, "Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." And this is a result of their faithful obedience to the voice of the Lord your God. In contrast to that, in verse 19, God says, "Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out." And this also is a result of your sinful disobedience to the voice of the Lord your God. So similar to 1 Peter 1, God's continual preserving is directly connected to the believer's faithfulness. We must see that the Lord's keeping relates to every area of our lives, and there is never a time where he is not guarding his people. Finally, we clearly see that the Lord's protection is from this time forth and forevermore. In his commentary on this psalm, Derek Kidner says, "It would be hard to decide which half of the last part is more encouraging, the fact that it starts from now or that it runs on, not to the end of time, but without end, like God himself, who is my portion forever." How amazing is it to think that the God who created everything and who never sleeps nor slumbers is actively protecting his children right now in this moment and will continue to protect them for all eternity. Not only are we blessed with God's protection during our earthly journey, but we get to spend the rest of eternity being kept in his presence. This hope of future glory should motivate us to continue persevering in the current trials and struggles that we face. So now as we close out our time, I want to look back at the glorious truths that Psalm 121 shows us about how the Lord will help us in our journeys. And then I want to apply these truths to the various journeys that I described at the beginning. So first of all, we saw that God is able to help us because of his attributes. God is the creator of heaven and earth. God is the protector who will not let our foot be moved. And God is always on the alert because he does not slumber nor sleep. Then we saw the actions of the Lord for his people. The Lord keeps those who are his. The Lord serves as a shade on our right hand, powerfully protecting us from the heat of life. And third, we saw he protects us from the visible perils of the day and the hidden perils of the night. Finally, we saw the amount of the Lord's protection. The Lord keeps us from all evil. The Lord protects us in every area of our lives. And finally, the Lord protects us now and forever. Now let's look at how this applies to our various journeys. For those who are actively living in opposition to God, if you continue to live in rebellion, you are not promised any of the protections that this psalm has been talking about. You need to respond to this psalm by repenting of your sinful rebellion and putting all of your hope and faith in the God who is able to keep his people. For those new believers who have just begun your journey walking with the Lord, trust that he is able to keep and protect you until the end. You may need to respond to this psalm by resisting the temptation to give up on the journey and by continuing to put your faith in the one who will keep you from all evil. For those of you who have been walking with the Lord for many years, spend time praising the Lord that he has continued to preserve your faith. It might be good for you to spend time writing and thinking about all of the ways the Lord has kept you and preserved you, and you're going out and you're coming in. For those of you whose current journey is filled with joy and gladness at the Lord's work in your life, thank him for his kindness in your life. It would also be good for you to look for opportunities to come alongside those who are suffering and offer encouragement from God's work in your life so that they can continue to press on. Finally, for those of you whose current journey is filled with trials and suffering, have confidence that the Lord is with you now in the midst of the difficulties, and he will be with you forevermore. I would encourage you to meditate on the truths of this psalm, along with Romans 8:28 through 39 and 1 Peter 1:3-7, so that you can rejoice in the midst of trials and your faith can prove to be genuine at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's close our time in prayer. Lord, I thank you for these glorious truths. I thank you for this simple passage that can motivate and help us and care for us throughout all of our lives, Lord. I thank you that you have each one of us on a journey and that you are taking us to a destination. For those that are in you, that destination is an eternity spent worshiping your name. Lord, I pray that you would keep and preserve those who are on that journey, Lord, that you would help them to not grow weary, that you would give them the ability to continue to press on through your strength. Lord, and for those in this room who are not on that journey, Lord, who are living in active opposition to you, Lord, I pray that you would not give them any rest. Do not let them rest until they have wrestled with these things, until they have realized that the vanity of life will never provide, it will never give them what they want, Lord. And I pray that you would bring about repentance and salvation for many in this room who do not know you, Lord, so that they can start this journey and begin this journey of walking towards you, and they can benefit and receive these glorious protections. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.